Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
What's in a name? Well, a lot if you are a New Zealand producer of feta cheese. Under the new free trade agreement with the European Union, New Zealand cheesemakers will not be allowed to use the word, the name feta. They do have 9 years to come up with an alternative, which is a while. But what would be a good replacement? And is it enough time to market a new name? To discuss this issue, we are joined now by Professor of Marketing at Massey University, Bodo Lang. Kia ora, Bodo. Nice to chat to you.
Kia ora, Emil. How are you today?
Very well, thank you. Is this sort of thing usual in free trade agreements?
Yes, I think it's quite common. Basically, you know, certain trade blocs try to really protect the products that are made and that originally from their region. And so feta cheese, Parmesan cheese, champagne, we've seen all these before, and I think it's just an increasing trend of where regions and then really trade blocs try to clamp down and say, well, actually, this originated here and we're using the original ingredients, and whatever you're making over there is not quite the right thing. And so there we are. So feta cheese producers in New Zealand now have to think of an alternative.
That could be quite fun, particularly if you were a professor of marketing at Massey University, Bodo. Like, what would be going through your mind while trying to come up with an alternative? Because this is not just a brand name, is it? It's actually a product name. I'm drawing a distinction there. Is there a distinction?
Yeah, absolutely, there is a distinction. So, you know, brand name is obviously, I don't know, BMW, yeah. Audi, Mercedes. You know, I have to say these things as a good German, of course. But feta cheese is, of course, description of a product category or a product type within a real category. So the category is cheese and the subcategory is feta. And so it's a bit like rollerblades. Rollerblades, you know, are really inline skates, but everybody used to refer to them, and rollerblades had a real battle on their hands when they came out decades ago, ascertaining their right to the name, that this wasn't the name for the product category, but this is actually our brand name. So this one here is a little bit different, but I think there's lots of opportunities, and I'm sure there'll be all sorts of people and advertising agencies and marketing departments having a grand old time and having raffles about, you know, what could be the best possible name to replace feta with.
Right, so that's what they do at marketing agencies. Raffles, that's where the great ideas come from, is it?
Absolutely. The Christmas raffles, all sorts of things. No, I mean, I'm sure they'll do something slightly more scientific, but I'm sure they'll have a bit of fun with this too. What they will most likely do is they'll have some brainstorming sessions around this, what could be a good name, you know, ideally something that sounds similar but isn't violating this trade agreement. And then, you know, they'll test it through quantitative research, so probably an online survey with consumers, you know, maybe 1,000 consumers, and see which of these, let's say, 10 shortlisted names really resonates best with the target market. So there's, I'm sure they'll have a bit of fun with this, but there'll be a bit of science behind this too.
We have many texts coming in from people with suggestions. Some people saying, surely you could just call this feta-style cheese and get around it. And other people also looking to get around it by saying, well, couldn't you just call it feta and spell it differently? For example, W-H-E-T-A or P-H-E-T-A. What do you think about those ideas?
I think the ideas are great, but I'm not a trademark lawyer, and I don't know whether that is sufficient in getting around it. I think if it's my sense would be that if it's phonetically the same or if the spelling is too similar, that would be still a violation. So I'm sure there'll be fine print in the trade agreement because they would have thought through all these issues.
Lawyers must love trade agreements, Bodo.
Absolutely. Really long documents, lots of fine print, 6-point font on page 695. I mean, this is fantastic stuff, you know, really good stuff for people who like attention to detail.
So, I mean, and not to ask you to give away your expertise, you know, who knows, maybe you'll get tapped on the shoulder to come up with a name here, but what would, if you were given this this is a client, you know, a cheese manufacturer pondering this. What would be going through your mind? What are some things that you would be thinking about here?
I would definitely want to piggyback on the association with Greece, and so something with, you know, I'm just, you know,
totally, yeah,
something with, yeah, I mean, it's a bit like Greek style yogurt, you know,
right.
They have little pillars on some of their tubs and, you know, all these sorts of things. So you want to have a visual and text that basically really reinforces that linkage. The trick is, of course, that many New Zealand feta cheeses are not really made to the specifications of a European Union feta cheese. And that is, it has to be at least 70% sheep's milk. And so that is a little tricky. So, you know, you want to be close to the original, even though your ingredients aren't quite the ones that are used in the original recipe. So you've got to be truthful when you develop these names and not be seen to be misleading consumers. That would be a disaster. Mm-hmm. But you definitely want to lean on the associations that you've formed. I think the big thing to me would be, what will be the competition in the chiller, in the store?
Yeah.
And if there is original feta cheese from the European Union that has a minimum of 70%, you know, sheep milk in it and maximum of 30% goat milk, well, then you'll have your, you know, your fight cut out for you. That'll be a tough battle, I think. But a lot of New Zealand consumers will be price-driven, and I'd be really surprised if New Zealand cheeses were to be more expensive than imported cheeses from rarer types of milk, i.e. sheep and goat.
Hey, this question probably harks back to what you said before, but could you call it, I can't believe it's not feta? Like, I can't believe it's not butter in America?
I think that is a brilliant idea. Whoever sent that in, I think, deserves a cash prize.
That was
right
me.
Now.
That was me.
Well,
oh, yeah, I can't believe I said it on the radio. Oh, dear.
This is brilliant. I think there is a career for you in marketing, but I think journalism can be close to that. I think it's a great one. But again, I think the usage of the actual name in the title, I don't think would fly. I'm sure there's fine print that says you cannot use a word that sounds like it, that is spelled similar to it. You know, I'm sure there'll be restrictions on this, because otherwise, what's the point of the... I know, the idea is brilliant, though.
Oh, the lawyers, Bodo. Honestly, come on.
I'm so sorry to pop your balloon.
No, that's all right. I'm glad that you let me down gently. And hey, I mean, New Zealand has its own products included in this deal, right? The EU has agreed to protect 23 New Zealand wines, including those labelled as being produced in Marlborough and Central Otago. So it's not all one-way traffic here.
And that's great, you know, because we are a country of primary produce, and so it's really, really important for us to get our products onto the world stage. Europe is a great market for us. You know, people are willing to pay a premium for our products there. And it is really important to secure some of those trade names. I was very saddened that a wee while ago, about 6 months ago perhaps, New Zealand beekeepers lost this battle with Manukahani and the Australian beekeepers. And that was just a really sad loss to me because, you know, obviously Manukahani would expect stems mostly from Manuka trees. Mm. And in Australia, that's not the case. And, you know, so that was one that we kind of lost. So it's great to see these things a little bit more protected and ring-fenced.
Great stuff. Bodo Lang, always nice chatting to you. Thanks for your time tonight.
Thanks, Emil.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.